Hallelujah. So glad to be here with you today. I'm very grateful for all that the Lord's putting in my heart these days. I guess it's because what he's planning to do in the culture and wants to how he stirs us to up to accomplish what he desires. And there's no place I'd rather be, as the song says, and in the presence of Jesus, maintaining a fire of intimate love and having him in my life, having him in your life, makes all the difference, doesn't it? The key of our life is the presence of Jesus. Major, major key. You don't want your life to come to an end and a story be told, yeah, that guy just, or that girl just fuddled around and never really walked with the Lord in a way that was fulfilled their life. Because the Lord already knows everything about you that he wants to accomplish in and through you. He knows Jesus is the person that we're... He's the human that we're all to become like. Do you know how unreligious Jesus was? He wasn't very religious. Isn't that nice? He was just a loving, caring guy. He was not... He didn't do anything on the basis of the fact that he was God. He was God in the flesh, but he gave up all the privileges of that so that he could submit to the Father and be a man that prayed and walked with him. And I was curious until yesterday. We were doing this class called the Zion class. And in preparation of that, I was curious, how in the world did a man in submission to God, who didn't use the powers of God, but just the power of the Holy Spirit, how did he walk on water? And I felt the Lord says, well, I'll tell you how. I released the gift of faith. He walked on the power of faith. I went, wow, that is so cool. Because there's moments where we need something way beyond our human capacity. And when you need something beyond your human capacity, the Lord gives you what you have need of. I don't have in the near future, I can't see myself having a need to actually walk on water. But I need a supernatural faith for other things that he wants to accomplish and pull his purposes would be unfolding for us. And I was about a week ago, I've been looking up all the words, the Greek words and stuff in the book of Ephesians. About a week ago, I came upon this word and it did something to me and I began to weep. And I sat there and I cried for a while. Because I had an encounter. How many of you have had an encounter with a truth that does something and alters you on the inside? So, your pastor here has an encounter with this truth. Last Wednesday in our staff prayer meeting, it kind of began to percolate up. Some things begin to fall together in my heart. So I want to ask you, if you have your Bible, look it up, Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read this and then we'll get into the notes pretty quick. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 17. No, excuse me, 7. Verse 7. And going to verse 10. 7 to 10. And I have the New King James Version. I'm not sure. Did you put... Okay, good. We got it here. Just listen if you don't have a version. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, in him. I'm not going to walk through and say every line, but let me just grab a couple of the words here. Redemption has to do with you being a slave and me being a slave to sin. Redemption has to do with Jesus paying a ransom. And you know what the ransom was? His lifeblood. And Jesus shed his blood that you and I would be purchased from captivity to sin. And what happens is the taking away, the sending away of our sins, which is forgiveness. Send them away. So in essence, for you to come to Jesus, you don't try harder at anything. You don't make an effort and try harder. That's religion. Religion says try harder. Try harder to get God's approval. Try harder to be a better person. Try harder, try harder, try harder. And you'll crack and break apart and be ruined along the highway of life, having tried to fulfill something that's impossible. Just bring him sin. Hey, I have some sin for you. That's what I died for. Can I have your sin? Yes. I still have a tendency to like it a lot. That's okay. You'll start loving me more than that. Just let me love and accept you and pour my life into you. And I'll wean you away from those things that you had that had great attraction to your heart. I'll do this because I've redeemed you out of that. I'll not only declare you righteous, you'll begin to become. Declare clean in my sight. Isn't that great? And then, he says, the next part. Wherever I went here. Oh, listen to this. I love this one. To abound in all wisdom. You know what wisdom is? And basically, the simple definition of wisdom here is how to regulate your relationship with God. Isn't that cool? You know what prudence is? How to regulate your relationship with people. How many of you have some people in your life that have needed your forgiveness? Well, if you've received so much, guess what? You can give so much. How about that? Some people, you know, this is always the one. I love receiving forgiveness, but I don't like giving it very much. Oh, that's not right. How can you do that? That's really not where the flow of his life and glory come into the earth. Isn't that right? I'm going to go camp on that a long time, but there. I think probably you, Heather, have forgiven me more than any other person on the earth. I think she has, for big things and old things. And you know what? I've given you the privilege of getting really good at forgiveness. I have given her so many opportunities for goodwill. How many have you? How many of you married people understand that you've given a lot of opportunity for the application? Is that right? And she's really good at forgiving me now. And I her. But she never did anything wrong. It was all my fault. So, on occasion. There, since you said that, I said on occasion. You know what? You can't forgive non-sin. If there's no sin, you can't forgive it. The only thing you can actually forgive is actual sin. Isn't that amazing? And so we forgive. Actually, even in here, the word sin has more to do with faults. There's two different words for sin. This particular one has to do with more with faults of all kinds, big little faults. Faults that create guilt in our life. Faults that wash it into something. How many of you have had a fault or two that need to be forgiven on occasion? Thank you, Jesus. I'm having way too much fun. I knew it was going to be a good day. How many of you have had your head in a vice the last week? You feel so nice to come to church. How many of you have been struggling with just a little sickness on a little bit of stuff? It's been interesting. But we're holding Christ. Look at this now. according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And this next line, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, it's the word times. The dispensation, the word dispensation, most translations just say the plan, but basically it's the word for household, and it has to do with managing a household. The word fullness there means the complete number, filled to overflow, you know, filled, pleroma, that number. And then there's this word kairos. Now, you've heard of the prison ministry named Kairos. Now, it's different from the word chronos. You know, your chronological, the chronos, this is just the ticking away of time. Kairos is a different word. So if you look in your notes there with me, let's go ahead and read the definition of it. Well, that's really interesting. No, I have a big one. Yeah, I think I'll take a little one. My goodness. Time. The Greek word kairos means that which time gives the opportunity to do. Oh, there they are. The big one. Thank you. That was very nice. I could take these off now. Hey, some people need them. Okay. There it goes. Means that... gives the opportunity to do. Kairos, however, now listen to this. I want you to, if you can, just tune into this and kind of maybe even underline this part. That implies not the convenience of the season. This is what began to rise out of this passage. It implies not the convenience of the season, but the necessity of the task at hand. Whether the time provides a good, convenient opportunity or not. Now, what this is saying is that the Lord God Almighty, Father of heaven and earth, sent his Son at an opportune time, but it wasn't convenient for him. It was time, but he was going to go through a lot of inconvenience because he was going to step into a battlefield. When the anointing came upon him, he stepped into a battlefield. Are you there? Even when he was born, the spirit of Herod, the spirit of death, tried to kill him. Opportune time. The time is ripe. The time is not convenient, but it's the time. Let that settle in, because that's the day we're living in. We're living in the Kairos day. We're living in a time that's inconvenient, but it's opportune. That the necessity of the task at hand is more important than our valuing if it's convenient or not for us. Let the breath of the Spirit that made me weep at my desk begin to come into your heart with me, and let us begin to change on the basis of understanding that the Lord God, in the managing and in the planning of the fullness of inconvenient but opportune time, gathered together. If you continue on, we all not only have an inheritance, but Christ fills us, the church, with all of his capacity to be everything we need to be at this opportune time. There's a capacity given to us that we don't have outside of him, and you know that. So, it continues, it says, it implies a fixed and definite time. Look at this now. The time when things are brought to crisis. The time when things are brought to crisis. Look at the world. This is the opportune time. And watch this next line. The decisive epoch waited for. This is a time when God says, I'm going to raise up my people and do extraordinary work in the land. Epic. Hallelujah. For opportune or seasonal time, a limited time period. I feel like doing that commercial. Limited time offer. Now let's go ahead and do the first fill in the blank. Number one, God rewards you when you. God rewards you when you. Number one, initiate. Even when it's inconvenient to act. There's reward that comes. And let me show you about a couple of people. Let's just touch on some Old Testament stories right now. You want to enter in a little storytelling mode. These are true stories. Jonathan and his armor bearer are in an area of the country. And there are 600 of men, 600 soldiers with Saul. And they're camping out. And it's kind of like this battle is at an impasse. There's nothing going on. Soldiers on the Philistines are just hanging out, and Saul, nobody's moving. Nobody's moving around. And suddenly, Jonathan and just two guys, and his armor bearer head on down there. Nobody knows they're gone. They're not even aware. 600 guys, Saul's son, Jonathan's disappeared. He's gone down. His armor bearer's down there. And they look up and they say something like this. He goes, okay, look, those guys are up there on the top of the cliff. They got a little fortress up there. And then we'll yell up at them and say, hey, you know, if you want to come down and fight, you want to come up. You know, basically this little conversation. And then says, if they say we'll come down and fight you, then we'll know that that's not our opportune time. But if they say, well, come on up, we got a thing or two to show you, he says, then we'll know. I don't know whether that was a word of knowledge or what, but anyway, that's what he did. And so the armor bearer, and they yelled up, and they yelled down, and they said, come on up, we'll show you a thing or two. And Jonathan looked at his armor bearer and says, let's go. And they started lickety-splitting up the cliff wall. They got up there, and the next thing you know, Jonathan is knocking them down, and the armor bearer is killing them. Boom, thump, boom, thump. The sound of battle. That's one way to take the sting out of the gore of it all. Just go ahead and make fun of the sounds, but boom, thump, right? Guess what's going on? God is giving them this a capacity to succeed because they initiated when it wasn't convenient to act. They initiated when it wasn't convenient. And God said, well, the people of God initiated battle. And then what happens is they're hearing this up there, and Saul's going, what? And there's a sense of confusion, and they look around, and Jonathan and the armor bearer, and finally they realize, oh my gosh! And they all start running up, and they engage in the battle, and guess what happens? Even former Hebrews that had switched sides with the Philistines switched their alliance back to be on the side of the people of God and started turning and engaging in battle. And there's a little breath in my heart that says, yes, and when you initiate, when it's inconvenient to act, there will be those believers that switch sides. That they'll say, I'm coming back to the people of God. I'm getting out of here. Because the spirit of victory comes on those. The reward is with those who initiate when it's inconvenient to act. Whew. You remember the other story about the four lepers? I love this story because these guys, they're in such desperation. Elijah came and prophesied to the village, and there's this famine going on. And this is the Assyrians this time, and they're all camped out. And this is a massive army. They're inside the fortress, and they're all starving to death. It is horrible. And Elisha shows up and gives this word about how, you know, bread's not going to cost much, and meat's not going to cost much, and, you know, it's just going to be pretty cheap. And there's these four lepers that are just outside of the gate. This gets me. Because they go, you know, Fred, or Thaddeus, I don't know what the names would be. How about Zedekiah? I don't know. But they're just saying, you know what, if we get inside, they're starving to death. If we go in there, we're going to die. And if we go down to the Assyrians, and they see that we're Israelites, they're going to kill us. But maybe they'll have pity on us, and maybe they'll give us something to eat.
because we're lepers. We're not that big of a threat. And it's twilight. Sun's going down. And he said, let's do it. And, you know, I don't know what parts the leprosy had affected. But you could imagine there's just four lepers shuffling along down the road. Just shuffling along down the road. And they get down to the Assyrian camp. And there's tents. And there's not a soul in sight. There's plunder everywhere. And not one Assyrian soldier. And the Bible says that when they were shuffling on the desert sand, that he made it sound like horses and chariots of a far exceeding army. I think an angel came with a megaphone and just mic'd their shuffling. And next thing you know, they get down there, empty tents, and they said, wow, look at this. And they're eating and they're getting their full and they're starting to put stuff, you know, they got their, and they suddenly they come to their senses and going, our friends and neighbors back in the fortress are starving to death. We should go and tell them. Everybody say they initiated when it was inconvenient to act because they could have died. But God, when they initiated, when it was inconvenient to act, God stepped in and they thought that the four lepers were a far exceeding great army to going to wipe them out. When you initiate, when it's inconvenient to act based on God's call to what He wants you to do as the people of God, He gets involved. He rewards you. And they were rewarded. And they got back. And they didn't believe him. The king got out of bed. And it was in the middle of the night. You know, they're all, hey, knocking on the gate. They got to look down and said, my God, they've got stuff down there. There was one guy. There was one guy that, he was at the wall that said, some commander or something. He says, that's not going to happen. You know, the word from Elisha. And when they opened the gates and everybody started running, the whole, it was starving, so they're running down to get something to eat. And I'll come out, he got trampled to death because he didn't believe. Isn't that something? But everybody else took off. Why? Because God was with those who initiated when it was inconvenient to act. He rewards that. Now, let's go back to Jesus' day. Jesus, John the Baptist recognizes him. And then he's baptized, and then he goes into the wilderness, comes out of the wilderness, he's defeated the devil in that temptation time. He ends up calling some disciples together. He does a miracle in Cana, comes back toward Cana, and a guy does another miracle, from heals somebody. Then he decides, let's go through Samaria. So right at the beginning, during the preparation time of his ministry, that's when he encounters the woman in Samaria, the woman at the well. It's actually before he initially starts his ministry, the declaration of his ministry. Isn't that something? So he's having this encounter with this woman. And you know, as we discussed in our design class yesterday, what a word of knowledge is just a fact. That the Holy Spirit that's not known, that the Holy Spirit makes known. And this lady, you know, here's what's blowing her mind is that this Jewish man who's a rabbi, who's talking to a woman who's a Samaritan. And this woman, number one, you don't talk to Samaritans. Jews didn't have anything to do with them, right? They didn't have anything to do with them. And Jesus is not religious. Jesus walks up. And he communicates with this lady and asks her about her husband. I won't get into the whole story there because I want to get moving on. She finally says, well, when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. And he says this, I am him. Did you know that Jesus never said he was the Messiah to anybody in Israel? Why? Because of the narrow nationalistic view that they would make him the king and kick out the Romans. But when it came to the Samaritan woman, it was not a Jewish mindset. Isn't that something? And he says, I am the Messiah. And then she runs into town, tells all the people. Then they come out. Jesus hangs out with them 2 days, and they end up saying this. They said, you know what? We thought we were believing when she said so, but now that we've heard your words, we believe. And Jesus steps into this thing. The disciples show up, and they say, you know what, something to eat? He goes, no, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Now look right down. This is what he says right after that. It's in your notes, and I'll give you point number 2 in a moment. Then he says these words. Do you not say there are 4 months and then come the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white with harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. Jesus said, I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. This is the fill-in. I don't think my lines are, just trying to get it all on the paper. This is a big one. When you God rewards you when, get this, when you are inconvenienced, that's a big long word, when you are inconvenienced so that someone else can be convenienced into, and take off the word the, because that's into God's kingdom. I actually shortened it saying the kingdom of God, and then I forgot to take the Mr. Typo here. When you are inconvenienced so that someone else can be convenienced. I made up the word convenienced because it's not really a word. But here's the point. Jesus was deeply inconvenienced so that you could be convenienced into God's kingdom. Thank you. Is it good? Think in terms of who went out of their way to help you get there. Who went out of their way? Who inconvenienced their life for the sake of the gospel so that they could be available in your life? Amen? Because it's not convenient. It's never convenient. Oh, it's not convenient. We make too many decisions based on it's not convenient. And the Holy Spirit says, no, it doesn't matter if it's inconvenient. It's the time. The task is at hand. And now, on the basis of this, let that just settle in. It's powerful. Lord's saying, look, you initiate when it's not convenient to act, and God says, I'll reward you. Now, I'll reward you if you're inconvenienced for someone else to be convenienced into my kingdom. I'll reward you. And after he says this, then he heads on up, and the very next verse after that is out of the book of Mark, and it says, and now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time, everybody say kairos, because see the word, that's the word kairos, the inconvenient but opportune time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And that's when he took up the message of John after the woman in Samaria and began to declare, the time is now. The time is now. That's why I made the message, it's time. That's the name of the message. It's time. Number 3, let's just do the answer. God rewards you when you plant and water, sow and or reap. Think in terms of sowing. All the time. Sowing. All the time. You never know the impact of your sowing. You never know it. You never get to see that. You never see that. You don't know. His name is Josh Finch. Emmy brought him to church here years ago when he was a teenager. We didn't know, but he didn't stick. He was one of those youth that didn't stick. But you know what went in? a seed. A seed went in his heart. You know what that seed was? He formed it up this way. Those people are real. And when I do commit my life to God, I'll do it their way. That's his seed that went in his heart. They're real. And when I do that, I'm going to do it the way they do it. He got married. He did a stint in Iraq in the military. His wife left him. He went through a painful divorce. He came back. Pain motivates. He came back into our life. He was reassigned to Isn't Wyoming. And just down the street, there was a little church. He's married to the worship leader, and he's the youth pastor today. God rewards you when you plant and water and sow and or reap. Because, look, they rejoice together. He who sows and he who reaps rejoice together because we're in this thing together. We're in this thing. Get a bigger view. You may be disappointed that person didn't follow through at the time when you thought they should. Don't be concerned about that. Keep sowing seeds. Hallelujah. Keep sowing. Look at this. He who plants, he who waters are one. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. That's incredible. And look at this next one. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Get this ready. Making the best use of the inconvenient but opportune time. That's the word kairos again. Making use of the inconvenient but opportune season. Hallelujah. Yeah, Paul said, I watered Apollos, I planted while Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. God gave the increase. Let's praise the Lord just for a moment. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that seeds have come up in the room right here. That those of us, Lord, have come to know you and love you and walk with you because of the fruitfulness that somebody sowed seed. Somebody prayed. And before we finish here, I don't know if everybody here knows the Lord. We're going to have some pastors up on the... We're going to do a little thing here in a moment, inviting some folks into membership. So we've got to jump into that in a second. But if you wouldn't mind, two things I want to do. First one is, there are people who are young in the faith who are struggling. Can we pray for them right now? Let those people come to mind, and let's claim them for Jesus. Because there's times when people just need a little bit more help. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we claim those. Lord, you've even been here. People struggling in their faith, maybe fumbling around, maybe step back into some kind of a sin. They feel all ashamed of themselves, possibly. We ask, Lord, for the powerful grace of Jesus to do the marvelous work that only you do. So we give you praise for breaking through any hardness that's gained. Lord, there's this thing that deceitfulness of sin does. It causes hearts to harden. We ask that you would melt it down. Cause the reentrance of the love that they once knew. We pray, Lord, for those. We pray for them. Claim them again. As Paul said, I pray for you again until Christ be formed in you. I'm praying for you again. I labor in prayer for you again until Christ be formed in you. I pray for you again. That Christ be formed in you and you step out of those things and into the fullness of what God has for you. Not the broken way of your past, but the fullness way of the future in Christ. Praise you, Jesus. If you're one of these people that says, you know what, I want to just move into all that God has for me. I'll tell you what, just close your eyes if you would. And everybody here, if that's your anybody here says, I want to step further into what Jesus has for me. I'm settling in my heart today. I'm going deeper with the Lord. Would you just lift your hand? I affirm that in the name of Jesus. Let the fresh anointing of your Spirit come. And the capacity, there's vision. I feel like the Lord just said to me, I'm going to drop the renewed vision for what you know you're called to be. Guys, there's a fresh anointing. There's a fresh anointing for what God's called you to be, and just activate it. Initiate it when it's inconvenient to act. You're going to start seeing
the Lord working in and through your life freshly. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just seal a moment here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Paul said, I fill up in my body what's lacking in Christ. I just have a sense of Jesus just saying, it was not very convenient to be crucified, but I love you more than the pain that I endured. And we thank you, Lord, for redeeming us. I pray that the anointing for us to be reaching out increase triple-fold. That's a good idea. We're going to pray the blessing. We'll go both ways here. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everybody said amen.